This is W2TTT from EQBAR, the Bergen Amateur Radio Association station. This is the TechNet. You need not be a member of BARA to participate in the net. You need to be a licensed ham with privileges in the 2-meter band. We welcome everybody to come and play with us. It's a lot of fun. Amateur radio is a wonderfully diverse hobby with many, many interesting ways to spend time growing, sharing, learning, and just having some fun. It really is kind of a neat hobby. And makes us well prepared for a lot of other things in life, too, which is one aspect of amateur radio that most people don't get to indulge in too much, or don't recognize, I should say. We tend to be better problem solvers, and someone noted to me yesterday that amateur radio operators, the active ones, tend to be natural volunteers, which is another good thing, too, as we think about the sacrifices of our forefathers who put everything on the line for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That is what July 4th really represents. It's lovely that we spend it with family. In fact, it's appropriate we spend it with family. It's even appropriate that we have kind of the playful joys of the fireworks, kind of in a more peaceful use of explosives instead of breaking things and killing people. But often, in defense of liberty, that's what's required. So, tonight, for the TechNet, you can bring up any subject you want, as always. Anything in amateur radio is by definition technical, so we hope you will. So, the process to check in will follow. Okay, the process is very simple, but somewhat different than some of the other nets you might be a participant in. In this case, your objective, if you will, is to provide us with your name, pardon me, your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or a comment or none of the above. Pretty straightforward stuff. So we'll get on with that in an orderly manner in a moment. I'm just thinking that, that if there's any emergency or priority traffic, I neglected to call for that. Please call now. This is K2BAR.
KS2ID, Ben.
You have emergency traffic, Ben?
A question.
Okay. F2ID, go ahead. KF2ID, W2TTT, or K2BAR, do you have a question or a comment? Okay, I'll take that as a no. All right. Ben, I just have you in here with a question later on. All right. Kilo stations. Any station whose call time begins with Kilo, please call K2BAR.
Here at 94 July 4th is certainly doesn't look like a very busy night. Also, I ran the net last night. You only had about 3 or 4 check-ins. Well, let me drop off, see if anybody showed up first.
KO2, okay.
Okay, yeah, I think we have a number of check-ins. Ben, I'll get back to you. KO2, okay. Bennett, very good. Do you have a question or a comment for the net tonight?
No, I'll just listen for a bit, Gordon. I'm also listening on 6, some good activity today. Back to you. KO2, okay.
Yeah, so noted. dear me. Anyway, thanks, Bennett. Any other Kilo stations, please call K2BAR with your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or comment, or none of the above.
K2 Zulu, Charlie Mobile. Dave, no questions.
K2BAR, this is KC2PYB.
We have two stations. Kilo 2 Zulu, Charlie, Dave, no questions or comments. Richard, KC2PYB, good evening to you as well. Do you have a question or comment for the net?
Negative, no questions or comments.
Received, thank you very much. Any other Kilo stations, please call K2BAR. Call, find name, and whether or not you have a question or comment.
2ALI, Tony, no questions, no comments.
Good evening, Tony. Very good. Alrighty. Any other Kilo stations?
KA2BDU, Helmut. No question.
Okay, Helmut, very good. KA2BDU. Nice to hear you as well. Alrighty, any other Kilo stations? Okay, Alpha stations, please call K2BAR. Alrighty. November stations, please call K2BAR. November stations. Alrighty. Last but not least, the Whiskey stations, any stations with call signs beginning in W, please call K2BAR with your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or comment or none of the above.
This is W2JEK, Don, and a message for Tony.
Okay, Don, very good. So noted that you have a message. We'll get that in a second. Any other Whiskey stations?
W2IP, no questions, no comments, but I do want to talk to you, Gordon, after the net.
Receive, thank you very much. We'll take care of that, Paul. Good evening to you as well. Any other Whiskey stations, please call K2BAR. Is there another station? Okay, any other station, any call sign or prefix, W2TTT. Right, K2BAR. Alrighty. That'll work. Any, I think what we need to do, so let's get done with the messages, so at least one message first, then we'll go to Ben's question. W2JEK, Mr. Don, pass your traffic to Tony, K2AMI.
K2AMI, W2JK, be advised I will be over at the parade, I guess at 10 o'clock, is that a good time? Over to you, Tony, W2JEK.
Very good, Don. Anytime after 10, if it's possible, if you have a red shirt, it would be nice. You don't have to, but nice to have a red shirt. Any shirt will do. See you at 10, rain or shine.
Okay, QSL. I don't think I have a red shirt, but I'll wear a shirt anyway. Okay, back to that. Thank you, Gordon. This is W2JK.
Okay, two questions come to mind. One, Tony, do you want extra communicators? And number two, I have a free supply of orange hats for your operators if you'd like common identities. I'd be happy to give them to you.
But the interesting, Gordon, we don't need extra communicators, to tell you the truth. They only asked for like a half a dozen, and we have more than that now. So I don't suppose you could drop hats off before 10 o'clock at my house, but if you did, that would be great.
How many do you want?
I know of six, but if you give me eight, I'll return them when I don't use them.
Fine. No problem. I'll get them to you. That's no problem. 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, that should be easy. I believe I have at least two dozen, so that should work fine.
Preferably before 10 o'clock, okay? Because 10 o'clock will leave my house here and go on up to the site.
Okay. No problem. We can do that. All right. Any other River Edge 4th of July parade traffic to pass?
This is KF2ID, Ben. I was, I think I signed up for that a couple of barra meetings ago for that parade. So I'm not quite sure when Tony says he has enough people whether I'm part of that list. If I am, I will certainly attend. Of course, I was going to ask Tony at what time it started and that sort of thing. But if I'm part of that list, I will certainly be there. If he has the six people and doesn't count me in it, then, of course, I won't show up either. So I'd just like to know what the status of I am in his list.
Okay, thank you, Gordon. Ben, thank you very much for volunteering, but I don't think we can use any more, and I did not count you in the list. Part of this activity is being very quick on your feet and being very agile. There's a lot of walking back and forth and a lot of running around. And I prefer us younger guys. Hi, hi. But thanks, Ben. Not this year. Next time.
Already?
Thank you for the information. I'll stand by.
Yep. While we're at it, any other public service activity communications related to tomorrow or the weekend, please call KTBAR. Okay. Just a reminder to everybody. I know Bob usually says it, but I'm going to say it now. Charge up your batteries. We're going to get a lot of rain. I'm looking at the expected rainfall for New York. And they're, if I look right, I think they're in the 2 to 3 inch range. So, no, 3.2 inch, I'm sorry, 3.2 inch range. So, be aware of that over the next few days. And it's going to be high humidity and modestly high temperatures in the mid-80s. So, you know, drink a lot of water, bring water with you. And you might even want to pack away a little water in case, you know, God forbid we lose power and can't get water. Pardon me. Anyway, so it's always good to do that be prepared thing. One other comment. The Fairlawn Club had a good turnout yesterday for their annual fireworks display, and thought it went pretty well. And I believe Richard had something to report on, if I could be so bold, Richard. Why don't you explain what you did for your municipality and what you're doing for a neighboring municipality tonight? K2PYB, K2BAR.
K2BAR, this is KC2PYB. What we did was a few months ago. We actually took an idea. It wasn't mine. It was Mike Adams is up in Ramsey. We took his idea that he did either a year ago or whatever, and we plugged in with the Skywarn program into the you know, weather alerting. As you remember, last year we really got drenched in thunder and the reservoirs up around Westwood there were knocked out. The pumping stations were knocked out, and we had a water shortage the very next day that we had a problem with that we had to take care of. So, and also we had a very large number of people. We had about the same number this year, about 2,200 people out there in the open watching the fireworks. And so what we did was we used the different programs and the Skywarn and whatever and plugged into all that to try to get some warning if possible. As you know, we've been having some very severe weather of late, the last few days. People were from the neighboring borough to the south, Edgewater, are having their fireworks tonight, and they're having a similar number of people out and everything. And what we're doing tonight from the house, instead of dragging everything out and operating off of batteries and whatever, we're again plugged in and whatever, and we're monitoring the weather and a few cells that moved through the area so far. You know, no lightning or thunder or anything like that, no rain, but you know, try to give them via cell phone or whatever a warning if anything should suddenly pop up while they're out there this evening. So that's what we're doing so far. This is KC2PYB.
That's great. Any comments for Richard before we go to field day reports, which I think is another viable thing to think about tonight? So looking forward to that as well. Anybody want to talk about what you can do for a fireworks display or some public gathering of outdoor nature this time of year? Please call K2BAR.
GDSL.
Good evening, David. Go ahead.
I was just outside lighting some off. Does that count?
I suppose. But, of course, I didn't hear that. Not a low fireworks, by the way. Anyway, it was up to me. The quality of the fireworks would be improved.
and they'd be available for sale legally. Yeah. That's just up to me, but you know, to adults. You know. And of course, in my neighborhood, we have somebody who thinks he's our neighborhood's answer to John Gotti. So when it comes to fireworks, so it's always exciting around the holidays, even New Year's and Christmas. Anyway, it's a lovely thing. Let's see. Anybody else have any public fireworks display comments? Milk. I'm interested in field day reports. Tony, you are the senior person present associated with the fire field day. So I'm going to pick on you first. I'm trying to think, other than Paul, who might have attended the Fairlawn field day, but I'd like someone to report from that as well. So, and if there were others, please do. I'll go last with mine. So, K2AMI, K2BAR. Oh, man, he left. Okay. Let's see. K2DSL, were you there?
K2BAR, K2DSL, yes. I was there for my first field day, and it was pretty interesting. Setting up and taking down way too much work, but the in-between part is very exciting.
Really? That's interesting. We'll come back to that subject in a moment. Just out of curiosity, W2JEK, where were you?
K2BAR, the net, W2JEK, good evening. Yeah, I was there. I started out at the garage at about 9 o'clock. Well, actually, I had some foam coolers that I dropped off at Steve Mendelson's house, and then I hit the garage, and we loaded up a couple trucks. I think we had Tony's truck, Phil's truck, Noel's van, and Ira's van that were involved. I think Tony's truck made a second trip to get generators and more tower sections. Upshot, we had a tower with a tri-bander on it. We had another tower with a 6-meter and 2-meter antenna on it. We had a third tower that was on the west side of the building, which Jerry and O2T was using for 20 meters with an X-beam. And we had a wire antenna for 40 meters and a horizontal loop for 80 meters. And a V-beam for V-beam for 10 and 15 meters, which was for the get on the air station. And we had the Montvale trailer. George K2YLH had his motorhome there with his generator. Power generator was there. The Montvale generator was there, and there was another generator powering the 40 meter station. And he had a tent set up and some tarpaulins over the some of the area there. And so we were pretty busy. My own thing, I brought my little QRP transmitter, and I got on 80 meters and made 6 CW contacts using a battery that was charged by a solar panel. So we got the 12 points for the contacts and 100 bonus points for the natural power. So that was my thing. Later on, I was on 6 meters in the evening, and the band had sort of died down, but we got an adapter and got a key going on the 6-meter rig, and we made a few contacts, myself and Dave, WA2CLP, I think it is, made some contacts on 6-meter CW. So that was a lot of fun. At any rate, that was my end of it. So I know they had a lot of other statistics. I don't have them here. Back to net, W2JEK.
Well, that sounds excellent. That really does sound excellent. Does anybody else want to comment about the Barron Field Day? Alrighty, any other comments from maybe Fairlawn's Field Day?
This is KF2ID. I was at the Fairlawn Field Day Saturday, and we loaded up at the Recreation Center about 8:30 in the morning or so, and we come out there. What we had was a two-band 80-40 meter wire antenna, which he got up in the air after many tries with a on one of these slingshot things over the trees, but I think it was up maybe 30, 40 feet, something like that. We finally got it up there. Maybe 50, actually. And we also had a rotatable 2015 10-meter dipole, which we used an extension ladder as a support, which is rather cute. you put the clamp, you have a an extension ladder, and you clamp the dipole support pole to the one of the segments of the two-segment extension ladder. Then you pull it up, and you have to tie it off with ropes, of course, and gives you a nice, easy way to get the antenna up in the air. Let me drop out for a minute. Also, there was some pretty good food, as usual, by Gene. And we our endeavor is to teach, and we had a couple of new hams there who first time they were at a field day, and they got to learn what was going on. We have one generator running to run the equipment, and it was a second generator to run the tent. Tent was the was actually a pneumatically raised tent supplied by Ridgewood Emergency Management Service, which is air-conditioned. How do you like that? Really high class. Only with everybody running in and out of that place during the day, air-conditioning wasn't doing so good. But it was nice. It was very convenient, went up very fast, very easy, and they delivered it, they brought it back, they took it back, so that was really very handy. It was very nice. So, well, we had a good time. I made some, oh yeah, the Thursday before, NOTT Jerry gave a lecture on how to use a logging program. He had two logging programs he demonstrated. One was the CT log, which we used because our computers weren't really robust enough to handle the other log, which NM something or other. I can't remember the exact name of that second log. It was a Windows-based log, whereas the CT log is a DOS-based log. Now, the second log is much improved logging program, but as I say, our laptops are really not robust enough to handle it. So, and I understand we made 1,000 points. That's, I think, good for us. I'm sure Barra did a lot better. I'm not quite sure how many contacts that means. That's about what we did. I was there Saturday. There were some guys who stayed overnight. Some guy, Harvey, anyways, from Fairlawn, he arrived in the evening. I understand he stayed overnight. So, great time was had by all. This is KF2ID. With K2BAR.
That sounds really cool. So, once again, whether you're really at Barra or at Fairlawn, a lot of people had some first-time experiences, some new experience. Everybody learned. Anybody else want to make a comment? Then I want to address David's comment about too much work. anyway, anybody else have any comment? Please call K2BAR. Great. Well, David, you're right. It is too much work. If you had to do it every weekend, all the time, the way we do it, yep, absolutely. But what's interesting about it is that the way it's kind of hashed together, and I would say hashed together is probably a good way to, you know, phrase it. I realize people plan, but, you know, there's an element of, really, we're doing that, or... As Don said, after a while we got the adapter going and put a key on the 6-meter station so we could make CW contacts and those kinds of comments. So there's always a little bit of, impromptu, arranging of stuff. And so That's what makes field day. Field day. Your problem solving. That was in my intro. I pointed that out, that ham radio operators are somewhat natural volunteers, but also they are problem solvers. They are, as one person described, somebody I know very well, a set of solutions waiting for the problem to come along to be addressed by that person. And that's pretty much what ham radio operators are. We get that experience from these kinds of activities. That's why we do them. And even if we do them in our work life, it's a different dimension, different dynamic, and in our work lives and maybe our other things we do. And we're better prepared for those things as a result of having done this. So that's something to consider as well. Is W2IP on frequency? Alas, I don't think I can get his attention. All right, so I'm kind of curious, Ben, was Paul a field day? KF2ID, K2BAR.
Okay, well, this is my question. I had recently redid my siding in my house because the wood siding that was there when the house was built about 45 years ago or so, and it was starting to come apart, and squirrels and all kinds of animals were making their home there, and the pieces of the siding were coming off, so I had was trying to redo it. Wasn't worth repainting. So we put in this cement aisle siding, and now I want to run some antenna leads down the siding, and the siding, I don't know if you're familiar with it, but it sort of overlaps one piece on another, and I sure like to be able to put something into the overlaps rather than start drilling holes in this nice new vent aisle. If anybody's got any ideas in that area or knows of something, I'd be interested. JF2ID.
Sure. Let me ask a question. How many coaxes, what type, and what's your preferred point of entry as far, where's your ham shack versus your antennas, I guess might be the best question to ask.
I didn't quite get the question. I have a point of entry, and that's not the problem. The problem is just running the wires along the side. I don't want just flapping in the breeze from the antenna all the way down. Maybe that could, that seems to me like an unstable way of doing things. I sort of like to fix the antenna at a couple of points on the antenna leads on a couple of points on the way down.
To JK.
Go ahead, Don.
I think they make cable holders as a stick-on cable holders. You can put your wires goes into the cable holder. The radio shack has them, and they do them for the cable TV people. The cables. And what they do is they can stick on. They have a decent amount of them, and you can stick them onto your siding rather than have to drill a hole and the explosion. Back in
that sounds lovely. Would you buy that like a roofing and siding supply place, like let's say Miles Kelly or something over in Field, someplace like that?
I think you'd be looking for a Radio Shack or something that supplies I don't know what advanced specialties would have it, but something that or something in the electrical supply house some sort might have stuff like that too.
That's a splendid idea. Okay, very good. Anybody else have any ideas? Okay, Mr. Ben, any follow-up?
KA2BL.
All right, the KA2 again, please.
Kilo Alpha 2, Foxtrot Bravo Lima.
KA2FBL, your name, and go right ahead with your comment.
Hi, this is Mike over in Yonkers. I just wanted to say, you can't get those at Radio Shack. I've gotten tons of them for my train set to keep the wires underneath. Only problem is the double tape that comes with it really stinks, and they fall off after a while. So what I do is I get a really good double stick tape from an auto parts store, 3M, and I use that on the bottom of the bed, and it works great.
Very good. So you buy the clips, the stick-on clips from Radio Shack, and then you go to the auto parts store for a better form of double tape, peel off the double stick tape that comes on the clips that you have, and you use the stuff in the auto parts store in place for a superior, more lasting connection. Okay, Ben, did you get that?
Yeah, these are excellent suggestions. I didn't know there was a stick-on stuff. The only thing I knew was Radio Shack has the stuff that you, you know, you screw in. I didn't know they made it for that sort of thing. So I thank you guys. That's excellent. And then the auto supply store double-stick tape sounds like a great idea, because anything that sticks on an automobile is subject to vibration. So that has to be extra good. Okay, guys, thanks.
I can give you another variant. It's kind of neat as well. There's that mushroom cap kind of hermaphrodite type of connector. It's not Velcro. It's hermaphrodite, and then both sides are the same. Little mushroom caps that interlock, and they make a clear version. 3M makes the product, and they sell it at Radio Shack. The backing of that is a plastic kind of sticky stuff that does not leave a residue. I found it to be very good on clean surfaces in my car. Sometimes if there's been too much Armor All or something like that, you have to draw once or twice before you get one to stick. And you're on your house, I think it's just a matter of just taking a damp cloth and just wiping off any dust off your house, and then drying them, and then using those. You can actually put down a strip of them, lay the cables on top of it, and lay another one right on top as a clamp for multiple cables. So that's what I do in some cases. I just use the whole strip as a cable clamp pair. So it's just another way of doing it. That's pretty good. Any other follow-up, Ben, or anybody else? Alrighty, Ben. Thank you for your question.
Gordon, could you repeat what it is you got again? I didn't quite get it. I know you were talking about a tape. Where did you get it? You said using on your car.
Yeah, what I got was an adhesive back. It looks like Velcro, except it's not fuzzy stuff and hooks. It's like little mushroom caps that interlock. So both sides are the same, and it's actually stronger than normal Velcro. Also, the adhesive doesn't leave a residue, and you buy Radio Shack.
It's like what they give you when you get your ET pass to put on your windshield.
I'm going to take a look at Radio Shack. I was wondering about the adhesive material leaving a residue, and that sounds even better. Okay. And it also makes it possible for me to use non-metallic. I might want to run an open wire line, so I'd want to be held off the building for a few inches. So it sounds like I could put a piece of wood or plastic on one side to that stuff you described, put the other side against the house. How does that sound?
The wood is maybe urethane thoroughly, and then dried thoroughly, and then you affix this to the one side. Sure, absolutely. David, you had a comment?
Yeah, I think the hook end, whatever they call it, stuff that you were just talking about, Gordon, is what, whenever I've gotten an EasyPass shipped to me, It's the stuff that they ship in order to put it on your windshield. It's kind of like Velcro, but it's hard, rigid plastic.
Right, both sides are the same. Good, then.
Okay, thanks. Sounds like you guys gave me some good good tips here. Let's say F2ID with J2BAR.
All righty. Well, we're glad to help. Anybody else with a question or comment for the Met tonight? Or even a check-in, please call K2BAR.
S2K.
And S2K. I thought you might be like floating on a boat or something. K2BAR, go ahead.
No, unfortunately not floating on a boat. No, I was on the phone or on Skype with Andrew, and he's in the process of building yet another satellite dish and tilt affair that is under computer control. So we were talking about some of that, and he's going in for some tests coming up shortly to see if he's eligible for surgery that some doctors over there are contemplating, try to relieve some of his back pain. Anyway, my question is, how did the power situation work out? Did you have good luck with that?
We did. I've been holding off talking about my field day adventure. I figured I'd, you know, let everybody else vent for a bit because I talk too much on these nets sometimes as it is. But since you asked, first of all, thank you for the use of your EU2000i. That's a wonderful little generator. Number two, tomorrow one of my tasks is to change its oil and to arrange to return it to you. I would have returned it sooner, however, the changing oil business was just something that's been eluding me all week. Can't wait to figure out how to do that, by the way. That's part of the joy. I can see that coming tomorrow as well. But anyway, so we'll do that. And we had it about 30 feet from our operating position, and I would say maybe on a gently rolling slope, you know, easy wide steps. When I say steps, I mean they were 6 or 8 feet between each step, and they're only maybe about 6 inches or so away from us. But each, so it was about, I would say maybe, maybe 3 or 4 feet down. Now I think about it, depending on how, yeah, I would say about maybe about 3 feet, 4 feet below the grade of the operating position. So it was quite nice, and you know, you definitely knew when you picked the transmitter on. But one of those generators was capable of running a 500 watt floodlight, numerous accessories, and count them, 3 HF transceivers. Granted, one of them was being floated across the battery, but still, it was delightful. It worked very, very well.
Yeah, it sounds like a real nice and viable kind of installation where you're not trying to run a huge amount of power. And yeah, especially if you're using the battery to pick up the heavy load and basically just floating it on a smaller supply. Yeah, that can... I suppose using that, you can use a much smaller generator in general. So, yeah, good plan.
Well, what we did, just as a clarification, we had 3 25-amp supplies, one for each of the HF transceivers. And I'm pretty certain there were a couple of instances where all 3 transmitters were key down, rocking and rolling. In fact, I think one was doing 2-meter FM, one at 100 watts, and the others were honking away on 40 and 20 phone, respectively. So it paid off. The boys, just as a matter of background, guys, for those who don't know, our Boy Scout troop and Cub Scout pack do a end of June camping trip, and so and a lot of the dads came up, especially the Cub Scout dads. It was really kind of cool, actually. They're a pretty motivated group. They are the group that's going to make for a new scoutmaster for my Boy Scout troop in a few years. That's a good thing. And what do you call it? But they
they, what do you call it, had a good time. You know, we did the fishing thing. We did the morning hike on Saturday morning up to a lookout and looked out over the reservoirs out to the west and stuff like that. It was really cool. But we also had a lot of ham radio stuff, and there were times where there was a line for the stations. It was kind of neat. We run two or three stations for the kids and maybe one for the adults. That's kind of how it works. In fact, if there's a kid who wants to operate news and adults at the third station, then shucks, gee whiz, the adult leaves. That's how it works. But we got a lot of people interested in getting ham radio licenses, and people went out and bought books. Several people are going on vacation this week, so they went out on Monday, quickly scrambled to get the study guides, which I thought was interesting. Alrighty, so anyway, a good time was had by all. Our antennas were relatively modest. We had 22 feet of Rhone 25 and another 20 feet of massing that was supporting a 40-meter dipole and what else was it supporting? It was also supporting a 2-meter Omni, and that was just lashed to the side of the dining hall. That was pretty straightforward. Another antenna was a 20-meter dipole that was only about maybe 25 feet off the ground on all pieces. That was kind of neat, so it was a pretty straightforward antenna. And the other was I built one of those antennas that Jim mentioned last week. That was the one where you have 54 feet of wire on each end, and you then feed it like a dipole. We did build a current balance by about 8 turns of coax, about 8 or 6 or 8 diameter, up by the feed line, up by the feed point, I should say, and that worked out real well. It does, in fact, load up pretty well on 15 and 10. And then that other station also had a random wire, and that basically stayed out of everybody else's hair. Our goal was to make sure that it was the wild card station for the adults. It would operate bands or portions of bands that no one else wanted to operate. So that was pretty much it. The time was had by all. Alrighty, any other questions, comments, confusions for the net, please call 22BAR. So David, now understand why it's not a big deal to do once a year.
It might not be a big deal, but it's a heck of a lot of work.
Okay, well, keep in mind, there's something of that nature I do at least once a month with a bunch of scouts. So, it's a matter of what you're used to, and that does help your organizational skills and your level of readiness. It's amazing when you do that. I was able to essentially clear my ham station into containers and have it out the door, and didn't forget anything this time, by the way, for those who witnessed my abject panic when that happened. We had everything done in an hour. I packed them, offloaded into my car, everything we needed to have, and then some in an hour. So that was kind of neat. It really was. So it can be done. And by the way, for those of you who don't know Phil for a very long time, or even those of you who do, remember Phil used to have this big monster Suburban. Now he's got this pickup truck. And the reason why he has a pickup truck is because he doesn't have to transport 52 scouts and all their stuff anymore. So if you see me driving around in a pickup truck or some other vehicle, assume that somebody else is the Scoutmaster of the Boy Scout troop that I'm Scoutmaster of now. Grin. All right. Any other questions, comments, confusions for the net? This is K2BAR. All right. We have an announcement regarding, we actually have at least one announcement. There is a BARA meeting on Sunday, boys, and if there are any young ladies listening, girls. So we have a meeting. It's at the Red Cross in Ridgewood at 7:45 on Sunday evening, and by then the sun will come out. and stay out for perhaps a few hours. And, oh, by the way, we open the doors about, our 20 opens the doors about 7 o'clock for fellowship and coffee and yummies to eat and stuff like that. So it's a good time. I don't know if someone can tell us what the program is for this, this meeting. That'd be kind of helpful to know. Does anybody know what the program is this Sunday?
AMI.
Mr. AMI. You can also tell us whether there's a TechNet next Tuesday, a KitNet next Tuesday, and where.
First, the program will be a presentation by Jim Joyce, and it'll be a presentation on how to use a two-tone generator to properly tune up a power amplifier, and showing the effects of this tuning the power amplifier and how distortion is easily created. And the second thing is, yes, there is a kit night on July the 8th. It'll be at the Red Cross building in the basement room, not the same room we meet at, but in the basement room. We'll be skipping July 15th because they have that room committed to somebody else. But then the next two Tuesdays in July, I think they're the 22nd, yeah, the 22nd and 29th, and all the Tuesdays in August will be in that same room at about 7 o'clock. Now, this information is available on the Barra website if you go to the Barra calendar page. I've just recently upgraded the calendar page. It includes the test sessions and the test sessions as well as the kit nights. So if you have any questions, just click on www.barra.org, go to the calendar page, and verify the kit nights. Back to you, Gordon.
Very good, Johnny. Thank you very much. That's all several interesting things. So we're going to have a very interesting meeting on Sunday night, and then you'll be able to come to kit night on every Tuesday from here to hell and gone, except for the 15th at the Red Cross building, but in the basement. That sounds lovely. For those, well, Tony, do you want to talk about Red Cross news?
We don't have any final comments on Red Cross news, but I can only indicate there are changes being made at the Red Cross in Hackensack, and the Red Cross in Ridgewood will continue to operate as it has, what with their reduced staff. The Red Cross in Hackensack will be operating with a very minimum staff, and as what the future will be of our commitment in Hackensack, we'll see in the future. They have no final comments on that at this point, Gordon, but you and I know what's going on, but we don't know definitely what's going on. Back to you.
Yeah, the joys and implications of a consolidation are kind of up in the air as to what their timeline is and what their actual final form will be. Alrighty. One other thing to consider is that not next Monday, the week after on Monday, there will be a Aries Net on 7/9 at 7:30, and we have to work on where we're going to be gathering, because it will be a roving net to a location. There will be a training seminar on how to fill out a radiogram, and actually will be rather than having everybody try to copy a radiogram or other message form over the radio, there's going to be a training session on how to do that, and maybe some other things as well. And doing it in a room, but the net will be essentially a talk into the location where that's to be. So, you know, about 7 o'clock or so on a week from Monday, finally getting on the repeater, and we'll figure out where we're going to be heading for that event. Anyway, the other question I had for everybody is that we are getting vests for the Aries group. And if you'd like a high visibility vest, somewhat like the ARRLs, but with more functional pockets, at about the same cost, mine cost about $33 or $34 by the time I paid for shipping. So we're getting ones with two large pockets on the bottom, one radio pocket up high, and a place for ID to be affixed and or a microphone clip, and the safety breakaway kind of thing. They're going to be in that lime yellow kind of color with orange pockets, not orange stripes, but orange pockets for the highly reflective strips all around for safety. So the pockets will be orange, the vests will be fluorescent, yellowish, greeny, whatever that lime color is. For those of you who were the Farallon fireworks yesterday, you know the color. It's kind of that, but with the fluorescent stripes on it. And it will be very good. It will be a very good thing. So we're looking to put together an order for those, and we need to get that squared away as well. So please contact me, w2ttt@att.net, and we can square that away. Alrighty. So, what else? Again, charge your batteries, top up your fuel tanks. I think it'd be a wise thing to do for this weekend. You never know. And, put some water away, make sure you have some provisions to rock and roll, and I think it'll be good. Any other topics for the net? Otherwise, we will secure. No rush to, but if we're not lacking a topic, we will. This is KTBAR.
KTK with a question for Tony.
Go ahead, Don.
Hi, Tony, this is W2JEK. You mentioned the VE testing page. I presume Jim got my email, but I didn't hear anything from him about it. Over.
Apparently he did get your email, and last night at the executive meeting, he forwarded a September date and a November date to me. I don't remember them exactly, but they are on the website if you go up there, as per his information. And of course, on the October 4th, Barra Hamfest will have a VE session on that Saturday also. So there's three VE sessions coming up, September, October, and November. Right?
Yeah, okay, Tony. Very good. Yeah, all right. So, I don't know whether he's cleared it with the school or not, but I presume he has if he gave them to you. So we'll let it go that way, and then I can, if he wants me to, I'll put it on the ARRL's website when I get a chance.
Who am I again? Jim indicated that he was going to be down tomorrow for the parade. So look for him tomorrow, and you can direct a question directly at him. One of our Barra members is a member of the Car Cop Club, and his car will be in the River Edge Parade. That's Jim Ewing, K2FJ. Jim wants to take pictures.
All right. Anything more? Alrighty. Well, good. It sounds like we had a good time. Anybody else have anything for the net? Please call KTBAR. All right. Well, I'd like to thank the Bergen County FM Association for use of the repeater, and remind everybody that our next net for the week will be Monday on 28350 Upper Sideband at 9 p.m. On Tuesday on 444, I think it is, 100, also at 9 p.m. on Tuesday. On 14679, 9 p.m. on Wednesday for a chat net. And 14679 for the TechNet next Thursday. I will be here for next Thursday's net. I will not be there the following week. That would be the 17th. I will be MIA. So we need to get out net control for that. If someone would let me know, that would be great. FYI, Paul, W2IP, I'll stand by for you after the net for your request. And I'd like to thank the Bergen County FM Association for these three repeaters. I'd also like to thank KF2ID, KO2OK, K2ZC, KC2PYB, K2AMI, KATBDU, W2JEK, WIP, K2DSL, KA2FBL, and NS2K, and Lord knows whoever else. for listening and participating at whatever level you can. And this is Internet Control, W2TTT, signing clear for K2BAR and returning the repeater to normal, or whatever that amateur is. Take care and have a good evening. Happy 4th, and remember why we celebrate it.